You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to an episode of Locked On Buckeyes, part of Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Friday, July 2nd. I'm looking at my calendar to get the right date in the year 2021. And no matter if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast or if you're watching us on YouTube or WKYC.com, I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes a part of your day. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On Buckeye. Lined up for today, if you're watching the YouTube or the video, you're seeing it, my guy Ryan Roberts is back to talk about a couple offensive tackles that Ohio State has this year and a few other things looking forward to the 2022 NFL Draft. But before we get to any of that, I want to remind you to make sure you check out the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, because it's the place for you to join Locked On Draft host Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak for recaps and analysis of the 2021 NFL Draft and a look ahead at next year's future first round picks. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your fine podcast. Ryan Roberts is back. Last week we had one third of the podcast that he is on. It's Alex Gilstrap last week. This week it's Ryan Roberts from Coast to Coast Scouting as well. You can hear him on the NFL Draft Prospect podcast with him, Joe DeLeon, and Alex Gilstrap. Ryan, a lot to talk about when you're doing stuff, you're writing articles, you're talking a lot, you're a busy man, and I'm glad you can come on the podcast to talk some Ohio State football.
Absolutely, Jay. I'll forgive you for just saying that I talk a lot for a second there, but I really do appreciate you bringing me on, man. Obviously, I'm just kidding with you. This is always fun to come on the podcast to talk Buckeyes, as is the same for every single year. There's a lot of talent, obviously, in Ohio State. So a lot of guys to get to. I know we got a mock draft that I dropped this week. A lot of players to talk about. And I appreciate you, as always, for having me on.
Mock draft, man. It's mock draft season. A little bit earlier, the early version of the mock draft season. I know some other draft analysts, they had theirs out earlier. Ryan dove into the tape, looked at a lot of different athletes and what they could bring to the table in the NFL. Ryan's mock draft dropped earlier this week. He had a couple Buckeyes. Number 17 overall in his mock draft was Garrett Wilson going to the New England Patriots. Makes a whole lot of sense for that franchise and what they need. And then also number 27 overall in his mock draft, Zach Harrison going to the Baltimore Ravens. Once again, another need for that defense is a defensive end, more defensive line depth. You can never have too much. Ryan, those two picks, let's start here. Why did you pick them in the first round in those two landing spots?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I always like to kind of take a step back from mock drafts for a little bit, just so you kind of have an understanding of the draft landscape. Like, I feel like it's a little wild early on. You know, it's a little bit of a clickbait type of thing. But for these two players specifically, first, Garrett Wilson's my top-ranked wide receiver right now. I was talking to Jay before we started. I don't want to put this comp out there because I think it is, you know, obviously something very high to live up to. But I see Antonio Brown when I see Garrett Wilson. So I guess I am putting it out there. I was always told if you have some hot takes, put it on a podcast because, you know, some people don't listen sometimes. So Garrett Wilson, I think that when we're talking about explosiveness in short areas, we're talking about ability to extend and elevate in the air. He is a special athlete. And I think that some people are going to knock him for the frame. You know, he's listed at like 5'11", probably closer a little bit to 5'10", sort of like Antonio Brown was. But I think that he alleviates a little bit of those concerns just because of how springy and how athletic he is. He creates instant separation. He's a three-level threat. And for the New England Patriots, if you are going to tell me that Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne have made you completely okay with the weapons there, I would call you a liar personally, especially a guy that lives – right outside of Philadelphia. I know Nelson Agholor has his moments of being a good football player. He had an exceptional year last year in Las Vegas, but he's been a guy throughout his career that's been so up and down. He's a hard guy to depend on long term. So I think that the wide receiver is still very much in the cards after drafting Mac Jones with the 15th overall pick. You really need to start assembling what is a a good solid receiving core. You need it. So I think that Garrett Wilson brings that inside outside versatility. I think he worked in the slot, out wide, at Z. I think he could do a lot of different things. So that fit for me, I think that it was a great fit there for the New England Patriots, kind of building four, because they have a stable of running backs. They have a very good offensive line. Hopefully Mac Jones is the guy. They just need to start really getting some wide receivers. And if then we're talking about the Nelson Aguilars, the Kendrick Bourdons of the world, maybe N'Keal Harry. We'll see what happens. Like, those guys are now becoming second, third, fourth options. Makes you feel a lot better in New England. And then I am really excited about Zach Harrison. I wanted to get him a little higher just because I watched his film and I see the flashes, and I know that he's a former five-star. I understand that he has kind of that moniker that's going to be with him. Like, you know, we've had the Joey Bosa to Nick Bosa to Chase Young, and who's the next guy up? I think it is Zach Harrison, so he could end up being much higher on this list, but you just haven't seen it a ton. Last year he's playing a lot of snaps, you know, as a rotational piece, but he's still mixing and matching snaps with Tyreek Smith and Jonathan Cooper, and he's not having a full volume workload in a shortened Big Ten season as well. So I think that he has everything you look for. 6'6 with vines, 265 pounds. There's obviously some work to be done, but I think it's more stuff that just is maturation with volume of reps. So I think that he's a guy that just needs to play. And for Baltimore Ravens, after losing Matt Judon and not really replacing him with anybody that's going to give you a high volume potential of sacks, I think there is a big need at the edge position. And I know some people will probably look at it and say, you know, oh, the Baltimore Ravens play a lot of base three-man fronts, and then they have the outside linebackers that are kind of hybrid players. In this NFL now, there was one team, I believe, last year that played a base defense over 50% of the snaps. The Baltimore Ravens are going to play four-man fronts just as every other team is. So I think Zach Harrison, although if you say, oh, 3-4 outside linebacker is a funky fit, I think just adding pass rush to that Ravens defense that has, you know, traditionally had great football players like Terrell Suggs, back to the Peter Bowlers of the past, they've always had guys that can create pressure off the edge. Missing it now without Matt Judon, I think that Zach Harrison would be a potential great fit there at, I think, pick 27.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC/MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and even contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device to sign up today. And when you do, make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON, and it's all one word. And at the same time, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sports book experts. Ryan, you made a comment about, well, not a comment, you left somebody out of your mock draft. And in the offseason prior to this, maybe 2 months ago, I said if the over under is set at 3.5 Buckeyes in the first round, I'm going with the over at 4. Maybe I'm being a homer. Maybe I'm just projecting and expecting guys to take a major step up in their play this upcoming season. No Olave. And Olave not being in your mock draft, the more I read your stuff or listen to you talk, you and Alex, and hear more from what scouts are saying, Olave not being in the first round makes a whole lot of sense based off what they have seen so far and possible projections about how he'll play in the fall. What do you see with Olave, and why no first round projection right now?
I think last time I was on your show, I said that he's a guy that's going to go late first, early second round. Like, that's kind of the bubble for him. So he could have very well been in this mock draft. I think there's a couple issues with him. One, I think that his projection is as a really good number two receiver.
Yeah.
Would you draft that guy in the first round? Maybe a team would in the back end if they have a Tyreek Hill and they just mm-hmm. want to add mm-hmm. something to Arsenal. Like, that's possible. But I think the biggest thing that he has working against him is, well, I mean, first and foremost, the wide receiver group I don't think is great. I think I only had two wide receivers going in the first round. So, you know, you don't have that great class going with it. But the biggest thing that I think is really working against, and we talked about it on the Believe in NFL Draft Prospect podcast this week, was the fact of, I think that this is a defensive loaded draft. I think that there is going to, I mean, when we look at the, if you ask me, what are the four most deep positions and just best positions right now in this early landscape, I would say that it's the edge position, which Zach Harrison's part of. I would say that it's cornerback. I would say it's safety. And then somewhere down the line, it would be interior offensive line. Like, I think that those are the four best. So that we're talking about three out of four of the strongest positions are on the defensive side of the football. And after the 2021 NFL draft, where we saw it, offense ruled the landscape in the first round. I think we ended up with like 18 of 32. I think that it's going to be the mirror here. I think that we're going to see 18 to 20 defensive players drafted in the first round. So then that eliminates a lot of opportunity. If we're talking about 12 offensive players, is Chris Olave one of the best 12 offensive players in the draft? I don't know. So could he still go in the first round? Absolutely. But I think that there's just a little bit of limitation to him. A good football player, without a doubt. I don't think he's a high volume receiver in the effect of like he's the number one guy all the time on a good football team. I think he's a good player. I think he deserves to be in that bubble. Just for this mock draft specifically, I just see this as a much better defensive class than offensively right now.
Right now, I know this is what June, we recorded this, it'll come out in July. There's a lot of time for players to get better. Season's going to happen. You're going to have more film to dive into. If there was one Buckeye, just one, that you think could move up into the first round in your first mock draft at the end of the season, what Buckeye, who is that and why?
I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to give you one offensive and one defensive just because I'm going to cheat a little bit. I think that the guy that I know we're going to talk about a lot in a little bit here is, I think Nicholas Petit-Frere has the potential to be that guy at offensive tackle. And I'll leave my analysis, you know, a little bit for later on in the show. But I think he has the athletic skill set to be that guy that can move up. He's just a guy that's a little, you know, just a little green right now. He needs to play a lot more. And then I think a guy on defense is Seven Banks, the cornerback. I didn't love the film. I'll be very honest with you. I did not love Seven Banks' film. But I do think that when we're talking about a size, speed components, continuing the Buckeye lineage, he could be the next guy. Again, I think a lot of Big Ten players, a lot of Pac-12 players also for that instance, they really, you know, had some shortcomings this season because you played a 6-game regular season, 5 games for a lot of teams. Like there was just a limited availability for live game reps. So I think that some guys are going into the 2021 season with a lot to prove and a lot of questions to answer because they just did not have the full slate of volume reps to perfect their game. So I think Nicholas Petit-Frere, I think Seven Banks are a couple guys that I could see making a big leap if they have those improvements in 2021.
Okay, guys, I know you guys are hearing Ryan right now. He mentioned NPT. I'm going to use his initials right now, so not elongating his name. NPT, Seven Banks, you've heard Wilson, you've heard Olave, you have heard Harrison. I'm sure some of you are wondering, how in the world have you left the left tackle out of this entire conversation? Ryan, this is the reason why I brought you here to begin with. And then, as people know, Ryan and I joke around, and he dumped something on Twitter that I had to dive into first, the mock draft. Thayer Mumford, left tackle, what do you see with him? And I haven't heard you mention his name just yet, so I'm curious, why have you not mentioned him possibly moving to the first round, not in the mock draft just yet? All the things you just talked about, just kind of dump them all right now.
I think Thayer Mumford, I think he had better film in 2020 than Nicholas Petit-Frere. I just see limitations. I think if you are a gap power heavy scheme that is asking guys to get vertical and to work double teams, combos to the second level, I think Thayer Mumford is a passable NFL offensive lineman. I don't know if he's a full-time starter at the next level. I think he has a lot of power. I think he plays with great effort. I don't think he's a great athlete. I think when we're talking about moving laterally, I see him get, you know, a lot of defensive linemen disengaging from him and him just kind of losing his leverage in the run game and in the pass game. I don't think that he is just the athlete to continually play on the outside. And I could be very wrong about this, but there's a deficiency. Length doesn't look like a huge deficiency on film, but either there is a lack of length or there's a lack of foot quickness. It's one or the other. And I think that there is just something about his game that for me, I think he's going to have a hard time sticking a tackle in general. Now, I am very intrigued with him at guard because like I said, the dude in tight spaces in a phone booth, quote unquote, I think that he can uproot dudes out of gaps. I have seen him drive guys into the end zone in goal line situations. Like I think there's a lot of power to his game. I just, one, am not sure he's an offensive tackle. And two, I think that there are some limitations with him athletically.
He does look a little slender, or just more the size-wise. Maybe going inside might be better. I know last year with the lack of depth, I think at offensive line, moving him to inside, maybe putting a freshman in Paris Johnson Jr. outside in a shortened season, not kind of the move you're kind of thinking about making. But that may have been a wise decision last year, making it go that way. I mentioned Junior at the end, and I don't know if you've watched him or not. The other tackle on the opposite side, I'm going to keep saying NPT. What did you see when you watched this film?
Petit Frere is a very gifted athlete, absolutely. I mean, this kid, he was a kid. I cover Notre Dame for Sports Illustrated Irish Breakdown, and I will say he's a kid that I thought Notre Dame had a very good chance to get, you know, when he was coming out of high school down there in Florida. He is gifted athletically. He's put on a lot of weight in a short amount of time. I think there's still room to grow in that frame. He is a very puzzling player to watch at times because he improved tremendously from the start of the season to the end, which is fantastic to see. Obviously in a condensed shortened season, it was great to see, but he plays very high. And I think it affects his redirection skills. Cause then I see him at times where foot quickness, I'm like, nah, that dude is a potential left tackle. Like, he has that foot quickness, I think. I don't think he's a right tackle only type of player. But there's just a lot of inconsistencies to his game. I think his redirection is really hindered by the fact that he just plays so high. I don't understand what it is about him. I don't know if he just has hard time bending at the hips. Like, I don't know if there are some limitations to him flexibility-wise. But I think that he has all the tools to be a starting caliber offensive tackle. There are just inconsistencies that I see too much of right now. And I think that he has all the talent in the world to do it. I think that he's a plus athlete with length on the at the offensive tackle position, which, if you've heard me at any point, those things are so important. People always are harboring on, arm length. Does it really matter? Yes. Yes, it absolutely does matter. Because when you're working against the athletic freaks of all time, let's just stick with the Ohio State guys. When you're working against Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa and Chase Young, those dudes are freak shows. Like, they are outside track rushers that can bend the arc with great bend and hip flexation and all that great stuff. And if you don't have that range to play outside of your frame, you're in trouble. So that's where, if there's a deficiency in length, you're in trouble. If there's a deficiency in foot quickness and athleticism, you're also in trouble. You pretty much need both, but you at least need one. I think Frere has both of those, which are important. Those are the unteachables that we always talk about. I just think from a technical perspective, there's a lot of work to do right now.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors plus the occasional limited time flavor as well? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you didn't know, or if you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're definitely missing out. A little coconut, a little coconut almond, a little cherry, a little raspberry, even mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, even salted caramel as well. Built Bars aren't only tasty, but they're healthy too. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and it's also great for that friendly keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and it's all one word, and receive and get 15% off your first order. Once again, go to BuiltBar.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Ryan,
Pro Football Focus puts out these stats, puts out these numbers. It's great clickbait material. Not going to lie to you. If I was just trying to be a company or a site that excels and pushes the numbers and our breakdowns and our grades, what they do, it's great. At the same time, Buckeye fans will look at this and say, well, these two tackles, the numbers tell me they're amazing. Mumford, the one that gets more attention, of course, you're the left tackle. You want to get more attention. Yep. But something along the way with these two guys, someone's going to say, well, Ryan, you're knocking them. The numbers tell me otherwise. What is different from your eyes? And I'm not trying to make this a PFF grade knock. I'm not. I use it on here from time to time when it's needed. Not all the time. I think there's a time for it and a time not. But what are your eyeballs telling you that their grading system might be pushing it up when you're saying, no, that your number system is a little bit flawed?
Well, we kind of bash PFF a little too much on my podcast. I will say this about PFF. I love the breakdowns that they do from an alignment perspective, especially defensively. Like, it is awesome to see how many snaps a guy played at this alignment. Like, that's fantastic stuff. The grades are very inconsistent, in my opinion, because, one, you don't always know what the job is, right? Mm-hmm, and then it becomes very subjective, because then you have a bunch of guys that are watching this film, and it's not the same people over and over again. Like, they employ a lot of people to watch film and to assign these grades. So I think that the grades are just flawed in general because you just have too many eyes. There's no consistency to it. But when we're talking about the guys like the draft analysts like Mike Renner and Austin Gale, those guys I'll listen to because they are watching the film. They are using their data and their statistics to back up kind of what they're seeing and find what the important statistical thresholds are for players to hit, which I'm totally fine with. But if we're just looking at a raw PFF grade, hard pass for me, man. I use the statistics and analytics side of things where I need to. I definitely believe in some parts of it. But those grades just, I think, are just way too inconsistent. For me, I see the flaws in Freire's game. I see the flaws in Mumford's game. And some guys have lower PFF grades. Like, I know we're doing Ohio State here, but, like, the PFF tells me that Kyron Williams from Notre Dame, the running back, is a terrible pass blocker. And that just isn't true. He's one of the best pass blockers I've seen in recent years come out. So I just think that there's flaws. I think there's too many people watching the film. I think that I don't know who those people are. Like, all you hear is Anthony Trash and all these guys, you know, putting out these clickbait topics or whatever, but you don't actually see the people that are watching the film. There just isn't any consistency. There isn't a uniformity to how these grades are done. That's where the inconsistency comes for me.
I like it. I use their numbers, like I said, when I need to, but you got to take it with a grain of salt and realize it's just a way to make some money. Like, I'm not trying to, like, I mean, it's a system that they utilize to make money. And so be it. One guy that I don't think will be making very much money in the NFL, it's Harry Miller. A lot of Ohio State fans are trying to figure out why in the world was he on the field so much last year. Look at the depth at the offensive line. Do you want to put a freshman in a shortened season? I don't know. Paris Johnson Jr. did come in times when he needed to due to COVID and injuries, and he filled in. And he did a phenomenal job for a guy that didn't really get much playing time last year. Harry Miller, what do you see?
Jay, that was the greatest segue of all time. Harry's another guy, man. I thought Irish were making a big push for him, and obviously he ends up at Ohio State. I think that Harry is just – I think in high school, obviously, what we're talking about specifically, I think he was just bigger and more physical than everybody, you know. And then he comes to Ohio State, and that's going to ask you to play outside of your frame a little bit in the Big Ten. It's going to ask you to be an athlete, move laterally, play against other great athletes. I think that there was a big transition for him, you know. So I'm not going to give up on Harry Miller. What I will say is, as far as him as a draft prospect right now, like, hard pass, man. Like, not draftable right now. It just isn't great right now. You know, he's giving up pressures. He's losing leverage, working laterally. He's, you know, taking bad angles to the second level. Like, there's just not much great on Harry Miller's tape. And then you are like, oh, well, at least there's unteachables. I don't think that there's a lot of unteachables. I think he's an average size guard who, I think he's listed like 6'4". So in reality, he's probably 6'3". And I think he's an average size guard. I think he's an average athlete. Or is it troublesome? Is it hindering for the athletic profile? No, I wouldn't say that. But I will say, for a guy that plays the way that he does, he needs to be perfect from a technical perspective. He needs to be his His angles need to be crisp. His hands need to be good. Like, everything needs to be good. And right now, it's just not. He was obviously the weak. Like it didn't take you long to watch his film of watching Harry Miller, just watching the offensive line in general, because you're watching and you're like, where's that pressure coming from? You know, you're watching Justin Fields like, oh, where's the pressure coming from? It's Harry Miller. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't want to put it all on Harry Miller, because every offensive lineman everywhere on any level has reps where they lose. That's just a reality of life. But I will say that Harry Miller was the obvious weak link of Ohio State, and I don't think that he has any business being talked as a draft prospect right now.
Have you seen any? I didn't ask you this previously before off air. Did you, Paris Johnson Jr.? I know he's 2023. I know it's down the road for you, but have you seen anything?
I have not scouted him, but I will say 77 pops off the film, man. He is a freak. I know he's playing guard, I think, this year, right?
Right guard.
Man, I know you don't want to move guys around too much, but like, I would have loved to see Mumford move inside and then put Paris Johnson outside, because I think he's going to be your offensive tackle in 2022. Like, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, 6'6". I think he's listed at like 320 something. Like, he is long arms, athletic. Everything looks fantastic. If you're asking me right now, is he an NFL caliber player? Absolutely. I'm not going to say he's a definite first round pick in 2023. What I'm telling you is that size, that length profile, that athletic profile, it's fantastic. I mean, there was that one video that went viral when he was in high school where he was just beating up on dudes. Mm-hmm. And obviously those dudes are a lot smaller than him. But like, when we're talking about like the unteachables again, Paris Johnson has every unteachable that you need.
So Ryan, one thing about him, he's on the record saying this in an interview, I want to say in April, he made a comment about how he was prepared to play right tackle last year in the depth chart. And then he had to move inside to right guard due to injuries and COVID. Had to go to the left side. It was either Clemson or Alabama. Had to go to left guard due to injuries and COVID. And he ended up saying, like, moving from tackle to guard, you're not on an island like you are on tackle. You're inside. So you have guy right side, left side assisting in communicating both ears. And you're more in a box, a phone booth, as you mentioned. He said going from right guard to left guard, there's really no transition at all. And I'm thinking, first off, your stance is different. Your hand placement is different. A lot of things you're doing mechanically, feet, hands, hips, shoulders, a lot of things are different. And he's like, there's no transition at all from him. It's from going right to left. I don't know what that means for the opponents, but for me, from seeing what I saw last year, I kind of like that. And I'm curious next year, when he does move to tackle, if he does play a little right and left based off the personnel. Because, my gosh, if that's the case, it's going to be scary. The O-line is going to be scary once again.
I've never seen that before. I guess maybe he's ambidextrous. I don't know. But, I mean, if we're talking about a guy rotating, you know, series to series at right or left tackle.
It wasn't series to series. It could be. I mean, I know the guy that's going to play tackle the following year is DeJuan Johnson. I think he's like 6'9", 360. Jeez. But he hasn't started at all because of the talent at Ohio State. But if you do play him, like, be like, look, man, we need your right tackle one game, left the other. Of course, it's probably not going to happen. But if he has to move for injury's sake, he could be the guy to do it, which is crazy to think about.
Well, the one good thing, too, Jay, is obviously talking from an NFL draft perspective is, and I think of Evan Neal from Alabama a little bit in the same vein. Like, Evan Neal has played guard. He's played right tackle. He's played left tackle. He's going to play left tackle this year at Alabama. That is huge for NFL teams. Like, absolutely. The moniker of getting the best five on the field, versatility is always a welcome thing. So we're talking about Paris Johnson has played both guard spots, could play right tackle down the road, maybe he's the left tackle. Whatever we're talking about is a guy that could project to four different spots, which is fantastic. And that will definitely help his transition. Obviously, with the profile he has, though, I would assume that he would be a left tackle long term. And I would assume that he'd be the left tackle in next year for Ohio State. But I think that versatility is really going to help him, because the more you can do as an offensive lineman, because we're talking about guys now that, you know, make a living, you never hear their name, but they back up 3 to 4 positions, and that's just how they make their money. It's so big, especially for guys that are just on the edge of being rosterable. But for a guy like him, you know, injury. Well, our best other offense, our sixth offensive tackle, first offensive tackle off the bench isn't also a backup offensive tackle. Oh, Paris, go play guard. Like, that's an easy fix, you know, and having that moniker of the best five all the time is always a great thing. And that's only going to help him down the road.
We're going to end this show. I'm going to make a statement or use a phrase, two words that Ryan Roberts used when describing Jeremy Ruckert. Last week, Alex Gilstrap described why he loves Jeremy Ruckert. In the midst of Alex describing Ruckert on the podcast, Ryan used the phrase, quote, hard pass, end quote. The real phrase was hard pass on Jeremy Ruckert. I just wanted to get the hard pass out first. I like Ruckert passing game. I think he's underutilized. Rushing game, running game, okay, it is what it is. He's a tight end. Today's college football might not be the best tight end blocker that you might want. But hard pass on Jeremy Ruckert was the words that came out of your mouth, Ryan. What do you see? Same question I've asked everybody else. What do you see when you watch the film on Ruckert?
Context of the hard pass for a second. Context of the hard pass. This is definitely in response to Alex having him as a top five tight end. I'm a hard pass on that right now
because of
the things that you said. He's a very gifted athlete. I'm talking about in a straight line. I think he's a 4'6 kid. I think that he's 6'5". I think that he's 250, 255 pounds. He checks those boxes. Again, the unteachables, the size, the length, athleticism, that's all good. One is to no fault of his own. You mentioned it. Ohio State does not utilize tight ends. Like, they don't. In the red zone, a little bit, like, you know, off of play action, quick little dumps. The problem is that he's not developed as a route runner at all, because literally everything that he runs to a degree is either a flat or a seam. Like, that's all he does. He doesn't have any nuance to his game as a route runner, and that is Ohio State's fault. That is not Jeremy Ruckert's fault. I don't think that he's limited flexibility-wise, but, like, you haven't seen it. So you can't say he's a plus route runner because it's not on film. And then so you have a limited volume. You've seen limited just reps in the passing game, and you've seen limitations to him as where he can affect the passing game. And then as a blocker, me and Alex tremendously disagreed on this. I don't think he's a good blocker at all. I really don't. I it was definitely improved from 2019 to 2020 because 2019 was awful. Like, it was bad. 2020 was better. And does he have the tools to be even better in the area? Yeah, because he has the size and he has the athletic profile. And, like, he should be able to move to the second level and work some double teams and do all that type of stuff. Like, I think that he's going to be fine. But right now you're saying a low-volume pass catcher, which, and again, this is not a definite statement, but usually guys that aren't productive in college aren't productive in the NFL. Like, you rarely ever get to see, like, these incredible tight ends at the next level that weren't productive at all in college. I know somebody wants to say, like, George Kittle. George Kittle had 30-something catches his last year at Iowa. So, like, was he underutilized at Iowa? Maybe even almost to a similar degree as Jeremy Ruckert? Absolutely. But that's the only guy you can really name me, because there isn't a list of guys that have been this low volume to be successful at the next level. That's just stuff that translates. Like, producers are going to produce at the next level. Like, that's just kind of how it works. But you couple the fact of, he has limitations in the passing game right now because he doesn't have experience doing it, with him just being a very ordinary blocker, I think, at best right now at the NFL level as he makes a transition, at least early. I struggle finding a spot to him in the first three rounds. I think that he's a guy in day three, fourth rounds, mid-fourth rounds, that is a developmental tight end, like a Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame should have been, even though Tommy Tremble did have a go-to trait of being a great blocker. But I think that he has that upside. He has things to like. He's a very gifted athlete, a high four or five-star recruit coming out of New York. Like, there's a lot to like about Jeremy Ruckert. I just don't understand where early on in the NFL, maybe even the first couple of years in the NFL, that he impacts the game, whether it be in the pass or the run game. I think that he could be maybe a solid tight end too early on, but I definitely don't see a starter the first couple of years. Does he have the traits to do more? Absolutely. Right now, I just have an incomplete prospect.
One of the most confusing things to me last season, especially when people saw Fields start off hot and then kind of slow down just a tad, a quarterback's best friend is supposed to be his tight end. If you're in a bind, in a crunch, throw to your tight end. Run plays for the tight end so he gets open to get your quarterback to get kind of in the rhythm. Basketball, they say get to the free throw line. Get kind of your shot going. Same thing in college or NFL, whatever level. Get the ball to the tight end. I've never understood why he has not been utilized in the way that he should be. The way I see it, I know Luke Farrell from last year. I understand why he was not utilized more, but I think, well, he should have been utilized more, just not to the extent, not as great of a level that Ruckert has been or Ruckert should be, from what I see. But it's July. It is July, bro. It's my mind's so crazy. The year's gone by so fast. Ryan, this has been fun, man. We'll have some plans for you down the road. Can't announce them just yet on air, especially when I haven't told you yet. As far as what some plans are for the future to get you back on here to talk some more draft prospects, not Buckeye specifically. That's all I can say right now. Ryan, can you let everyone know they can catch you via social media and then also where they can catch the podcast and some things you're doing writing-wise as well?
Sure. Yeah. So on Twitter, you can find me at Rise and Draft, the letter N Draft. As far as content, all my scouting reports are being housed at Coast to Coast Scouting, which Jake talked about a little bit in the intro. If you want more human interest piece, interview segments, all that type of stuff, then you can go to Expand the Box Score, where I'll have some kind of in-depth looks into some prospects for 2022. And then a couple of podcasts, Believe in NFL Draft Prospect Podcast, with on the Believe Podcast Network. You can check out any podcast platform that you use. We're on everything. And then for a little more of a business side of sports, Mav Sports Take is a weekly podcast where I dive in with David Turner, who is an 18-year scouting vet across the NFL, CFL, and Arena League. So you can kind of get the business slant, the behind the scenes, a guy that's been there, done that, and kind of get some of his stories. You can check that out. And then I just recently am now at IrishBreakdown.com, which is a subsection of Sports Illustrated covering the Notre Dame Fighting Irish as well. So if we meet again in the playoffs at some point against Ohio State, come check out some Notre Dame content. See.
Absolutely. And guys, you can follow me on Twitter at JSteven07. It is July 2nd. The weekend is here. It is 4th of July weekend. Have fun. Be safe. Enjoy it. The fireworks. Many people did not have them last year, especially the big things that the city's put on. But I'm pretty sure most people around the country will be having fireworks, setting them off. We have fireworks here with some things Ryan said on the podcast. Fireworks in a couple days as you enjoy the 4th of July. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your fine podcasts.